From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Radio Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back with you live, broadcasting live from the Republican National Convention. I've been reporting every day for the Power Hour radio program as well. It's been some interesting commentary, and Joyce has done a phenomenal job over there. We've really got incredible coverage with the different talk shows that we're working with here. This is Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen, for the July 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2016, hour two broadcast. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. As always, it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, particular matter of fact, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday, we got it all going on. And I'm telling you, there's so much to discuss. Last night, Donald Trump gave one of the longest Republican acceptance speeches ever. The crowd was absolutely digging it. And there's been signs all over saying, Trump digs coal. And I find that fascinating. Donald Trump digs coal. In other words, folks, look, some of this new energy stuff is great. And we ought to pursue it. We ought to get government out of it. We ought to let the private sector pursue it because some of it's tremendous. Solar power, wind power, many of these other opportunities of DC power, meaning battery power. The opportunities are endless with some of those things, no question. Even some nuclear power at low levels could be some tremendous opportunities. But we got to get government out of it, and we got to realize that the mainstay is coal. And the idea that we can just have the Chinese manufacture everything, and they can just burn coal like wildfire, pardon the pun, and that we can't be involved in the energy issue at all because we have to have everything supposedly clean is a lie. We all live on the same earth. And so we need to simply recognize the reality. But anyway, one great sign that we saw at the Republican convention this week was Donald digs coal. And boy, do I agree with that. Anyway, I digress. There was some tremendous points made last night. The speech Donald gave, many people are saying he hit it out of the park. The Democrats are so desperate. They're just like, oh, Donald was shouting the whole time. Now, he was passionate to say that for sure. Shouting, I don't think so. Making the points very passionately without question. He said, we're going to make America great again. We're going to make America safe again. We're going to make America prosper again. We're going to put America first. That's something that we have not heard really in our lifetime. We're going to bring our jobs back. We're going to make sure that we renegotiate trade agreements, renegotiate foreign policy. We're going to do it in a way that benefits America and makes America first. James Edwards, are you with me, sir?
I am, Sam. Good morning.
Okay, good morning, sir. The traveling starting as everybody kind of rolls home from the convention, but we got some tremendous interviews. What do you think of Donald's speech last night? Bottom line, the theme is we're going to make America great again. We're going to make America prosper again. We're going to make America safe again. We're going to put America first. And I don't think I've ever heard a presidential candidate that really already has the nomination of the Republican Party say that in my whole lifetime, sir.
It was, as we talked about and as we expected, as we predicted before it happened, it was the closest thing to Pat Buchanan's convention speech in 1992 that I've seen in the period between 92 and 2016. Overall, a very good speech. He's the people's champion. A regime change is coming to this country in November, and we've been on the ground floor of it, Sam. We've been talking about this since that very first day. We've been here in Cleveland all week. We had seats to something that's certainly going to be very historic, above and beyond the extent to which any presidential election is historic. I think this one is going to make a signal and usher in a monumental shift back toward populism, nationalism, secure borders, all of these issues that Trump championed. This isn't just empty rhetoric and campaign promises. He ran on these issues and made them fashionable again. When he started talking about these issues, the Republicans weren't going to do anything about immigration. They weren't considering getting an America First economically wise trade program. He has totally changed the Republican platform in a year. It's the most incredible thing, certainly that I've ever seen, and I'd like to know what other single individual has had this much impact in American politics going back to the history of the Republic. I mean, certainly you could say George Washington and some of these others, but for a candidate, for just a candidate, not a military general, not someone who fought in war, but for a candidate, I guess you'd have to go back at least to Lincoln.
Yeah, and some might say Ronald Reagan, but I think Ronald Reagan, in this sense, no offense, has done a lot of good, was, I think, a good, honest person. But I would say that if Donald can deliver on half of what he's committing to and half of what he set the stage for, no offense, but Reagan will pale in comparison, sir.
He will, and we're not going to be sycophants here, as you and Kurt mentioned in the first hour. We're covering this as members of a radio network. I am certainly supportive of Donald Trump, and will be voting for him. You and Kurt will be voting for the Constitution Party candidate, who I would be voting
However,
for.
However, we clearly
don't year.
Say that a lot
any
of Donald initiatives
year.
We completely
and so,
support.
We're not in the tank for Trump. We have our heads on straight. We are able to see things clearly, and not everything he does is gold. And one of the things that I didn't like about the speech last night was the signaling or the pandering. Well, I don't want to call it pandering, because if it's something you don't like, you call it pandering. If it's something you do like, you say he got it right. So let's not call it pandering. Let's just, I didn't like his comments on homosexuals.
The signaling is a great
term.
I don't
want anyone discriminated against by race, by sexual preference, but I also just don't like the idea of an unhealthy and unnatural lifestyle being mainstreamed. I think it's a dangerous lifestyle. I think it's an anti-family lifestyle. It's a manifestation of the culture of death. Again, I don't hate these people. That should go without saying. But to see him go up there and present himself as the champion of the, I can't even remember all of the characters of the alphabet they're using now, LGBTQ. We could have done without that. Other than that, I give it 8.5 out of 10.
I agree with that. We don't want to pander that. I think your signaling is probably a great way to put it. He was signaling to them. And there's two feelings I have about it. One, I disagree with doing that because I don't want to promote their agenda. But at the same time, I will say this. The idea that we're not going to have this division between men and women, this division between people who choose different lifestyles, the smoker versus the non-smoker, the drinker versus the non-drinker, the Christian against the so-and-so, and that we're going to erase these divisions and we're just going to say we're Americans, I do support. So there's kind of a line there that's important, too.
No, and that's perfectly fine. No, I can agree with that. And as you know, I talked to Milo Yiannopoulos this week, and to talk and to work with people of different faiths, of different races, of different preferences, on areas with which you find agreement is something that decent Americans should do, and something that we should all do. However,
no, I interviewed Jamie
Kirchick.
He's an openly gay guy that works for
Mary. I think that's an affront to God's law. But be that as it may, Tony Perkins was there. A lot of hate group leaders there. You know, if you're a Christian who believes in God, family, and country, you're a hate group leader. You're a hater. Tony Perkins was there. He gave a speech. All right, so Tony Perkins is a great Christian leader. He's supporting Donald Trump, and I appreciate that. I'm supporting Donald Trump as well. And I only bring this up to say we can criticize Donald Trump and still support him. We can have disagreements with some of his policies while supporting the others, and we can have disagreements with other people. But basically echoing what you said a moment ago, Sam, when we can find areas of agreement, let's work together. But we can also maintain our objectivity and balance and report that to the audience as well.
Now, it was interesting. They interviewed a lady who was the youngest Latino Florida delegate, something like that, last night, and they asked her about Donald Trump and why she would support Donald Trump when he's a racist and everything else. And she just set that all aside and said, all that's bogus. So then you've got black people, Latinos, everybody saying, you know what, this means to impress a certain that Donald's a racist just isn't true.
So we had great conversations with all of these people. We had great conversations with white men, with women, with black women, with black men, with Hispanics, with homosexuals. We were there. We were talking to them all. It doesn't betray your positions to do that. We were working well with them, and it's great. And it was a really just an incredible experience. But I really go back to, again, you talking with one of the network executives of Univision and getting that behind-the-scenes little nugget that I think will certainly shock and run contrary to the perverted and manipulated media narrative about this whole racism. Bizarre accusations of racism that seem to be flung indiscriminately now.
All right, one other thing that I think was interesting about Donald Trump's speech that I didn't like is he promised the sun, the moon, and the stars, James. you'll never deliver to those promises that he made.
I noticed that as well. We're going to do this. 90% of it were things that I certainly wanted to see done, but it is a tall order for anyone to be able to accomplish that much in 4 years. Usually a president has one signature issue, maybe two, in an administration that represents a sea change from previous policies and the way the country had done business before. But, hey, go after it.
Hold on, James. Quick pause. Stay with me one more second. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Sam Bushman, James Edwards, hang tight. Quick pause on your radio. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live from the Republican National Convention.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Sam Bushman, live from the Republican National Convention. Wow, it's been an incredible event to be part of, to say the least. James Edwards is with me. We're breaking down kind of post-commentary here a little bit of the events we had. And I was mentioning that Donald Trump certainly overpromised big time last night. It was one of the longest speeches that a Republican has given for an acceptance speech, and it was very good. Everybody loved it. It was a very popular speech. It was one of the best speeches I've heard in a long time. There were a couple elements of socialism that I didn't like. There were a couple of elements where he pandered to the gay and lesbian agenda, or certainly signaled to them, which I'm not happy with. But he did focus on treating us all equal like Americans and not having special interest groups, which I do like. He talked about jobs and a bunch of initiatives about foreign policy and a change there that needs to happen. a lot of good things. I don't want to be negative about the speech, but he certainly overpromised. James, any other thoughts on that?
No, I think, Sam, everybody in the country watched it last night that would be tuned in to us, and everybody can make their own opinions. I think a lot of time we are talking about the news that the networks refuse to use. We're talking about issues and items that people aren't going to hear broken down anywhere else. So I think the commentary and opinions on Donald Trump's remarks last night are certainly going to be ubiquitous today, and there's not much more we're going to be able to add, except for the fact that, personally, it was something that far, in a way, was better than what you've had in previous cycles. I mean, this is an understatement of the century, I guess, but then McCain and Romney and whoever would have been the Republican nominee this year had it not been Trump. To have a man who will, let's get back down to the fundamentals of the campaign, to have a man who we believe will sincerely try to secure the borders, to put America first in its trade and economic policies, a man who defies the laws of political correctness, a man who puts the media in their place as he should, and on and on and on. That is uniquely Donald Trump on any of those issues. I don't think any of the other Republican candidates could have been trusted to do that. So, yes, we can nitpick here and there on some things that we would have done differently, as anyone can do every time, no matter what we're talking about. But to have a man who is a populist, who is a nationalist, who is going to put America first, and I love that America first because it goes back to Charles Lindbergh and there's great history there. This was absolutely unfathomable just over a year ago when it was almost a certainty that Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton would be squaring off. So overall, Sam, ultimately, it's by far better than anything we could have dreamed for last summer.
All right, now one interesting last kind of point on this that Donald really did well. The Democrats, all they can do in criticism is say, well, you know what, Donald was shouting the whole time and people got sick of the shouting. I didn't look at it near as much as shouting as demonstrating the passion that Donald has for his ideas, for his beliefs, for the opportunities looking forward to the future that we have if we make America first again. I looked at it as really a speech of passion. And you've mentioned that when you look in Donald's family's eyes, the children, the wife, you see a real passion. They believe what they're saying. They really want this to be the case. They're willing to work for this to be the case. They're genuine in their attempts. And so I didn't look at Donald as really shouting as much as an incredible speech of passion of what, you know what, he's convinced that this is the way we need to go. And I actually appreciate that. Your thoughts on that, James?
These aren't career politicians. The Trump family and Trump himself aren't career politicians who have been scripted and stage managed to do certain delivery styles. I thought the delivery, the tone, the volume was perfect. If I give the speech 9 out of 10 stars, 8.5, 9 out of 10 stars, I give the delivery flawless because it was sincere. It's what we've gone back to what we were talking about previously with other members of his family when they spoke. It's sincere, it's authentic, it's genuine. And that's, again, obviously part of his charm and allure is the fact that, as we mentioned and as has been said by, I believe, Donald Trump Jr. When we interviewed him, he's a blue-collar billionaire. And people relate to him, even though they certainly can't relate to living the lifestyle he's lived. They can relate to him in many ways. So all of that was perfectly fine with me. I enjoyed being able to hear and see the passion coming out. And if you're passionate about something, you really believe in it, you don't say it quietly. I don't think he was screaming. I don't think he was shouting. I don't think it was over the top in that regard at all.
I also don't think that it was, you know, when you say someone shouts, you kind of at some point intimate that they were whining or that they are over the top, kind of tyrannical in your face, hostily yelling. Neither of those things were true. It was a compassion speech. One of the things that was absent from his speech is a lot of the joking and a lot of the fun that he usually has.
Yes.
And part of that, they would criticize him for and say he should have done more of that. But then what they would say is if he did that, they would say he was not presidential. So see, you just can never
That's
win
right.
with these people, James.
Well, and it was great. Listen, I really did enjoy the political theater of the primary campaign, the way he would dig at his opponent. I think a lot of regular Joes could relate to that and found humor. And that there was a time and a season for that. Last night, he crossed the Rubicon into a new stage of evolution of this campaign. So, but it was a good point that you mentioned that that was noticeably absent. But the rest of it, and you got to understand, as I'm sure everyone listening to this program does, the media hates Trump, okay? And the media hates Trump, and they have earned his ire. It's not the other way around. He just has a irrational hatred for the media. The media hates everything he is campaigning on, all the issues that have brought his candidacy to life. And so to hear them, if that's the best they can do, if it's too loud, well, I don't think anybody takes them very seriously anyway, at least according to public opinion polls that I've read. The media...
Well, and if he hostily attacks, they say he's not presidential. If he doesn't joke, they say he's boring and shouting. If he, you know, doesn't speak out on something, they say he should. If he speaks out on something, they say, oh, he shouldn't. When you can just never win. And that's kind of something that the American people are starting to see as well, and they're getting tired of it, saying, you know what? Would they be that critical of Hillary Clinton? Are they going to ask Hillary the questions they're asking Donald and Donald's team? I don't think so, and that tells the tale enough.
Well, if the media, if the American people took the media seriously or at all valued their opinion, Donald Trump wouldn't be where he was. So people's eyes glaze over. They tuned in to hear Donald Trump speak. They didn't tune in or at all care about what the media's interpretation of that speech was. So the ship is sailing. The American people have spoken. This is an unprecedented election in many, many, many generations, perhaps in all of American history. And Sam, we're here to cover it together on this amazing network that has come so far. And it's just an honor to have been in Cleveland with you, an honor to continue to serve with you, brother. I know you got a busy show and some other things you want to do in the last half hour, but to be on here today to put sort of the capstone on the coverage that this network has provided from Cleveland all week is again an honor.
Promote your show, James. Tomorrow night you got a bunch of incredible interviews, sir.
Yeah, we have no idea. We've got so many, we can't even play them all in 1 week. They may have to be staggered out over two or three shows. But as Sam was working live on the radio this week, I have been doing things behind the scenes. Of course, I'll offer my take, my opinion, my analysis, my commentary on what we saw, who we talked to, what we did in Cleveland, and we'll have a few surprise interviews as well with some pretty interesting people. That's coming up tomorrow night, The Political Cesspool on the Liberty News Radio Network, 6 o'clock Central Time. We start. We go for 3 hours every Saturday night, thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Last point to make, they've tried to divide Mike Pence and Donald. Mike has doubled down and basically made very clear what Donald's points are, and he's done so in a very humble but yet direct, manly way. I'm really pleased with Pence and how he's able to work with Donald. It works really well.
I had low opinions of Pence, not low opinions, but just I thought he was a very safe, very generic establishment Republican candidate. Of course, we were all hoping, you know, Buchanan was never going to be the nominee, but we were hoping for something incredible. Maybe Jeff Sessions, maybe even
Godspeed, James. We're flat out of time.
Interesting things this week. But Pence exceeded my...
You are listening to the Republican National Convention on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Jonathan Chait, a liberal detractor of the Republican nominee, writes in New York Magazine that Trump's relationship with Russia is disturbing and lends itself to frightening interpretations. Trump has a long series of economic and social ties which fit the pattern Vladimir Putin has used to infiltrate and undermine governments elsewhere, including Ukraine, a coup Putin pulled off through Paul Manafort, who is now Trump's campaign advisor, Chait elaborates. Franklin Foer of Slate bluntly accuses Trump of being Putin's puppet, comparing him to European right-wing populists such as Marine Le Pen in France, whose presidential bid has received cash transfusions from Russia-connected sources, and former Italian Premier Silvio Berlusconi, who, according to an American ambassador, profited personally and handsomely from energy deals with Russia. The nature of the Donald Trump campaign is its fundamental blurring of his political and business interests, contends Ford. While most candidates put distance between themselves and business interests during presidential runs, Trump has done the opposite by promoting his business while running for office. Following multiple bankruptcies, Trump's creditworthiness suffered, leading him to seek financing abroad from, among other people, the late Libyan ruler Muammar Gaddafi during the early 2000s. When that money proved unavailable, it was Russian capital that fueled many of his signature projects, declares Ford. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, broadcasting live, ladies and gentlemen, from the Republican National Convention. Sometimes we have to resort to some unique audio opportunities. I'm on a phone line right now as we're trying to get packed up and get out of here. I will be live Monday. Kurt will be live Monday from our studios, so expect that. We'll have more commentary, more interviews, more details of what happened at the convention, and a lot of breakdown of how the mainstream press has just been dishonest as all get out and unfair and unkind to us. CNN, believe it or not, was one of the nicest groups to us. They were absolutely professionals, absolutely gentlemen and women. They did a great job, and we appreciate them, believe it or not. I can't believe I'm praising CNN, but you know what? We call a spade, we're fair as we can get to the best of our ability. When people do good, we support it. When people do bad, we reject it. It's that simple. It is principle-based, and that's how we roll, ladies and gentlemen. We got some incredible interviews that I want to play here in the third and fourth segment today. And the first one is the Attorney General of Utah interview that I was able to do. His name is Sean Reyes, and it was a great interview. I'm telling you, he, in my opinion, was very, very impressive. He's working a lot with stopping child trafficking. He believes there's a lot of opportunity to work with a Trump administration. So he was very positive, very well-spoken. He took time with us. He wasn't rushed. He wasn't in a hurry. He was incredibly respectful. Ladies and gentlemen, Attorney General for the state of Utah, Sean Reyes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman here with Sean Reyes, Attorney General for the state of Utah. Sean, it's interesting to me, we've saw two snubs from the Republican Party for Utah. One being when they called for a roll call vote, they simply had their microphones off, shut it down. Number two, they tried to say the delegates go for Cruz, not Trump, but yet they said the archaic rule that was a 2012 kind of modification came back to haunt them. The National called the vote all 40 delegates for Utah for Trump anyway. What do you say about both those? You comfortable with that?
You know, Sam, I wasn't here, so I'm not in the best position to talk about that. I was training a number of attorneys general from Mexico and their federal attorney general on cross-border combating human trafficking, combating cyber crimes. I just got in Tuesday afternoon, and I missed all of the fun. But I can tell you, for the delegation, felt snubbed and slighted. And I've heard a lot of bad press about the Utah delegation, and I think think the Utah folks, I know them, I love them, they are trying to represent the sentiments of those that voted them in as delegates, and I think they're patriots and principled folks. But there's room to disagree, and I also have respect for the parliamentarian and our rules chair, and I understand that things went by the book, but I wasn't there, so sorry to...
No, I understand. So it's interesting to me. I agree with your point about, you know what, it's okay to disagree, and it's okay to have feelings and opinions and thoughts, and that's what, you know what, that's what this country's about. And what I find fascinating is the mainstream press is trying to turn those slight disagreements into a huge divide in the Republican Party. I think they misrepresent. Everybody I've talked to said, yes, we've had some concerns about some of these things, but we are unified. We will move along. We will go ahead and work together, and we see a bright future. Isn't that what you're seeing, or what do you see?
No, absolutely. Regardless of why you support Donald Trump, whether it's because you love Donald Trump, you mildly support Donald Trump, but are concerned about other issues, or you just absolutely know you can't have Hillary Clinton in the White House, it doesn't really matter, because those are the things we'll have to bring us together. And I've seen a lot of people start to heal right now with this process of Donald Trump and Governor Mike Pence being named as his VP pick. I think Trump and Pence will carry in November. I totally agree with you, Sam. The media is trying to totally distort this and say that there is so much dissension. I haven't seen that here.
A lot of people around this convention are saying Hillary for prison. And I've stepped back and I've said, wait a minute, guys, hold on. I understand your frustration, but in my mind, it's a matter of the rule of law. Look, national security is in jeopardy. Hillary lied and basically perjured herself before Congress. It's absolutely unacceptable, I agree. However, I'm calling for Congress to hold her in contempt and then to impanel a grand jury who could have subpoena power and really get to the bottom of this and then let accountability be where it may. But we've got to follow the rule of law. Your thoughts on my idea?
Well, first of all, let me say, as a state attorney general, I joined 26 other Republican AGs, and the rule of law is what is our credo, and that's why we file lawsuits almost on a weekly basis against the Obama administration and the ever-expanding fourth branch of government, unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats. To your point about Hillary Clinton, I don't think the story is done yet. Jason Chaffetz and the Oversight Committee, Trey Gowdy, there are others who are still looking. And again, I don't want to jeopardize any current or pending investigations that they may have by commenting on them. As a law enforcement officer and also as a lawyer and officer of the court, I'm very careful about commenting when those things are underway. But I was going to say, I think Congress really does need to not just take back control in that situation, but take back control and rein in the executive branch. That's Congress's prerogative, and that's what the Constitution says. They are the ones who need to be making laws, not the executive branch.
Has Donald Trump shown a willingness to meet with some of the attorney generals and some of the states that are banding together for suits over land rights and many other issues? Is he willing to really openly discuss some of these things?
Absolutely. Donald Trump, in fact, has been probably the best candidate in terms of public lands issues. His son, Donald Jr., is a huge advocate, a conservationist, is very well known, and that's some of the reason that in Utah, the people who've been supportive of Mr. Trump are concerned about those issues. Trump is very good on public lands, and he has made commitments to us in that area. He's also, his team and I have talked about fighting human trafficking, fighting opioid addictions, which are rampaging throughout the country, cyberbullying, white-collar fraud. And so those are the things that don't get a lot of attention. But Mr. Trump has committed to us and met with a number of the attorneys general.
That's good news. Last 20 seconds, what is your most important thing you think coming out of the convention?
Supreme Court, Supreme Court, Supreme Court, regardless of why you want to vote for Donald Trump or don't want to vote for him, we cannot give the keys to the White House to Hillary Clinton, let her appoint four justices, and lose the next generation and the following.
It's about the judges. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, sir. Yeah, really nice to meet you.
I'm really impressed with Sean Reyes. He flat out talked about the rule of law being important. He talked about, you know what, I, along with 26 other states, and Sean Reyes and the state of Utah, along with 26 other states, continually suing the Clinton administration to create accountability. And you can say, well, they need to do more nullify now stuff. I agree, but I'm just saying, you know what, admitting that we've got to follow the rule of law, basically saying the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court, when discussing what we need to do in the next administration. Very, very, in my opinion, educational commentary about who we are, about what we're doing, about what needs to be done, about what the states are trying to do. I was quite impressed, ladies and gentlemen, quite impressed to say the least, with Sean Reyes. He took time for me. You know, you would usually think that the attorney general of a state would be way too busy. But I'm telling you, he gave us a stellar interview that really shows that there are good people trying to do good things. If there's one thing I've learned about the Republicans and the Republican convention, you know, we get so tainted in our views. We get so, I don't know what you say, but jaundiced in our beliefs that, man, the whole system's corrupt and there are no answers. There's nothing we can do. I mean, even our local officials are thugs, and it can become so easy to check out and just say, you know what, they're worthless. We'll never get anything done through them. And you talk yourself into this narrative or this idea that, man, they're just all evil. And I'm convinced that that's the furthest from the truth. There are a lot of good people doing a lot of good things. And you say, well, Sam, if that's true, how come it just keeps going so wrong? And the answer is because we're an immoral people. The answer is because we don't take the thou shalt not steal very seriously. The answer is because we, the people, don't get involved in the proper role of limited government. I mean, how many people are calling for Hillary to be called in contempt of Congress? How many people are truly making an effort to focus on what matters most in terms of holding Hillary accountable, of retooling our foreign policy to protect America and make sure that we do it in a constitutional way, of rebuilding America? One of the big points that Donald Trump made last night over and over and over, and that his children have really hammered home, Donald is known as the business entrepreneur builder. That's what he does. He builds things. And you see the results everywhere in his beautiful, unique buildings. That's kind of the point they've been making. And I would say that, you know what? Can we rebuild America? Can we restore the greatest country on the face of the earth? Can we put America first? Not in an effort to be hostile to anybody, but if we put America first and we become great, we become strong, we become moral again. And that's the only piece that I didn't hear Donald say that I would really like to hammer home. You know what? We can make America great. Make America great again. Make America great again. What about we can make America moral again? And what about focusing on God? That's something we need to do, ladies and gentlemen. But some tremendous commentary was had. We'll come back. I interviewed the governor for the state of Utah, Governor Gary Herbert. Incredible interview as well. We'll get to that in seconds on your radio.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Hard-hitting commentary and news that ever refused to roll on Liberty Roundtable live every day on your radio, folks. Taking on the mainstream press like never before, rejecting Republicans and Democrats and every other division on the planet, working together for the greatest America we can make. We're going to make America great again, as Donald's slogan. I'm adding to that slogan, we're going to make America moral again. We need to turn to God. We need to do our very best to focus on the solutions. And the solutions start with God, family, and country, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so the Attorney General of the state of Utah, Mr. Sean Reyes, did an incredible job talking about the things that matter for America, doing great in my humble opinion. Now I have the opportunity to interview the governor of the state of Utah, Governor Gary Herbert. And you know what? Again, I make this point. You know, we oftentimes want to just reject everybody and say, man, they're evil. They're bad. We can't get anything done. They won't listen. They're just a sellout. They're okay, I don't believe it. When I interviewed the governor, in other words, the leader of the state of Utah on a governmental basis, the governor, Gary Herbert, he was one of the nicest guys ever. Now, somebody would say to me, Sam, don't see they're nice to your face and they hose you down behind your back. I'm not telling you that they make the best choices, and I'm not telling you they're the most constitutional because I see that they're not. But I am telling you that, at least in our case, I do not believe that Sean Reyes, Attorney General, and Governor Gary Herbert, Governor, I don't believe that they are intentionally evil. I don't believe it. I sat with them literally face-to-face and discussed some of these things, and their responses were impressive. Listen to Governor Gary Herbert on your radio.
All right, Sam Bushman live with Governor Gary Herbert at the National Republican Convention. Governor Herbert, I see all kinds of efforts by the mainstream press to try to focus on these divisions. I agree, in America we have the right to disagree on many things, and we do. That's the genius of America, but they're trying to make it to be this meltdown. It's not even true, sir.
Well, as you know from the media perspective, if it bleeds, it leads. And so the idea of emphasizing the controversy, they believe, increases ratings and sells more papers. So we shouldn't be surprised. That's kind of the modus operandi for the media. That being said, I mean, Donald Trump has used the media to his advantage. One of the reasons he's here is because he was able to use the media, the earned media aspect of this, to get his message out in a very unorthodox way. So it kind of cuts both ways, and I think Donald Trump really was unable to kind of make it to his advantage.
What do you think the most important thing coming out of this convention is for you?
Mike Pence. The first decision that the president has to make and the nominee is who's going to be your vice presidential pick. And the fact that his first most important decision he's made is picking Governor Mike Pence is encouraging to me. Mike Pence is a quality guy. I've known him. He's a friend of mine. He was a 12-year congressman, consistently conservative, a good family man, a man of integrity and compassion. And the guy that's going to be a heartbeat away, I feel very, very good about. And I think that helps soften some of the challenges that some feel about Donald Trump.
I've been hesitant, sir, about Donald Trump for a variety of reasons. But you know what? I interviewed Donald Trump Jr. Incredible interview. I've seen their family on TV and heard Eric and Don Jr. speak and his daughter and his wife. I'm convinced that family's for real.
I think they are for real. And, you know, the good book tells us, by their fruits you shall know them. And at least some of the fruit that we see from Donald Trump is that he's got great children. So he's done something right. I've met with Donald Trump Jr. myself and met with him a couple times, and when he leaves, people say, gosh, he's the guy who should be running for president. That's how good and what a quality individual he is. So he's got a good family. His children have turned out very good.
It's surprising to see. It's delightful to see. And in my opinion, it starts to become very clear. Do you want to vote for the people that are for families and for the private sector? If so, what more can you say almost, right?
Well, that's right. That's certainly part of it. For me, the two biggest issues that need to be talked about and we as the American people ought to concentrate on is Supreme Court appointees. The next president will have at least one, maybe two.
Or maybe even more, right?
Maybe. It's hard to know. And certainly Ruth Bader Ginsburg needs to be replaced.
Anyway, I don't want to really focus on more because strange things need to happen for that to be. But what my point is, that's a very real possibility, though.
That's right. So the number one issue for us all to ask, certainly those of us in Utah, who do you want making the next Supreme Court picks? And Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump? We've already seen a list that Donald J. Trump has put out of 10 very substantial, capable, traditional conservative jurists that would be he would consider for the Supreme Court, including one that I appointed, Tom Lee.
And by the way, isn't that, I don't know what to say, but history-breaking? I've never heard of an advanced list being floated like that. That's the advice and consent we need to have happen. You know what? Here's who I'm thinking about, guys. What do you think? Kind of the trial balloon, kind of laying out who you'd pick. Others haven't done that, have they?
They have not, and that's, again, part of Donald Trump's appeal. He's unorthodox. He's pretty open and transparent. He's about things you don't want to hear about. He tells you about his peccadilloes and his problems and his works and tells you things. They say, that's more information I care about. But that's part of his charm. And so the Supreme Court is really important. But also important to me is, in fact, my initiative for the NGA, National Governors Association, was pushing back on the federal government and highlighting states. States are the best hope for America today. States are getting it done. And we need to amplify and elevate the states and their governance in solving people's problems and have the federal government stand down. Their overreach in the states' departments and areas is really a burden that we, the taxpayers, cannot afford. So I believe Donald Trump will actually pare back on the overreach of the federal government, Supreme Court nominees. That gives me encouragement that the country can, in fact, become great again.
To your point, Sheriff Richard Mack, a good friend of mine, won at the Supreme Court against the Bill Clinton administration over the Brady Bill. And one of the things that was said in that landmark decision for states' rights was the fact that Antonin Scalia wrote, there are dual sovereignties. And that's what you're talking about restoring, right?
That's right. We call it federalism. Sometimes when we hear the term federalism, people think in terms of only the federal government. But it is the shared responsibility under our Constitution of the states. And James Madison said the powers given to the federal government are few and defined. The powers given to the states are numerous and indefinite.
Yep.
Numerous and indefinite. And so, again, that's I think Donald Trump understands that. That gives me encouragement. I know Michael Pence does, and Mike's going to help us elevate states and push back against this constant federal overreach, which even Democrats, particularly governors, understand is too much. So I'm encouraged about that.
All right, last question. I know you got to fly. Everybody's super busy running around here. I've been told by my good friend David Barton of Wall Builders, Tony Perkins and others, that this platform they put together, Donald Trump had primarily a hands-off view on this, but they put together the most pro-life planks to the platform ever written. I think that is the most phenomenal news coming out of this convention. Your thoughts?
I think it's certainly one that people ought to know about that's not been talked about too much in the mainstream media, but people from Utah and others work together to have a very conservative platform and certainly a very pro-life platform, which is good. good. I think that's a good thing, and that again, that kind of guides us as politicians on what we should be espousing and what we should be developing policy around. And so to have a pro-life plank and probably the most conservative platform we've had in a generation is also encouraging.
Thank you, sir. Any last thoughts?
I get out and vote. Again, it's we the people. At the end of the day, it's we the people. We sometimes are a little lackadaisical in our efforts, and sometimes that means that we get lackadaisical candidates.
Are you going to endorse Trump?
I'm certainly endorsing Mike Pence, and I'm not going to support Hillary Clinton, but I think the best hope we have is the Pence-Trump ticket.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
One of the things about Governor Gary Herbert that I find impressive, too, he's not ready to endorse Trump. I said he didn't endorse Trump, and he, in a sense, evaded the question a little bit. But he did say, I'm endorsing Mike Pence. And he did say that Pence-Trump is the best ticket. That's a very polite way to say, I'm not really ready to endorse Trump because I'm hesitant. But I am a member of the party. I'm going to support the party. I'm going to support the will of the people and the delegates. And what if Ted Cruz and what if John Kasich had enough of that integrity to be that clear? I got to commend Governor Gary Herbert for his comments. He's not downing Trump. He's taking all the good that he can find. He's not ready to endorse and give his complete support, but he is willing to stand with the party. And I just wish that Kasich and Cruz were willing to do the same. Donald Trump says we're going to make America great again. I pray that it's true. Donald Trump says we're going to make America strong again, referring to foreign policy. I pray that we do so constitutionally with a humble foreign policy, and I pray that it's true. Donald Trump said a lot of things. We're going to make America, but I want to make America moral again, because I believe that's the only way we're really going to have a chance to truly make America great again. America has a godly heritage, folks. America has a tradition of God, family, and country. America has a Judeo-Christian fundamental understanding, a Christian historical view. And from that, ladies and gentlemen, comes all the solutions we need. That's a wrap. Not enough time to cover everything. We'll have to pick it up on Monday and do more of the same, but an incredible breakdown all week long from the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. For the Liberty News Radio team and Liberty Roundtable Live, I, Sam Bushman, am reporting for Kirk Crosby, James Edwards, and the crew on the ground from the Republican National Convention. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure. Make it a great day, will you? Hey, thanks.